You're listening to Sounds Good. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Tracy Ross. Kate Lochte is here in the studio, and on the phone we're joined by Peg Hayes. Good morning, Peg, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you. And also, Arlen Casey Jones, my husband, is with us, the master distiller at Casey Jones Distillery.
Excellent. Good morning, AJ.
Morning. Morning to you.
I was going to say we have Peg Hayes, a former regent of Murray State University and the queen of Herb Hayes Furniture, but I won't say that now.
Herb Hayes Furniture. That's okay, Kate. I can handle it. Believe me.
And AJ, you are the son of Casey Jones, whose last still was, do I understand it correctly, was on display at the Golden Pond Visitor Center from which you reacquired it?
I'm the grandson.
The grandson.
Yes, and it was the last still that was displayed at the LVL Visitor Center. They actually took it out and put in a small model of his. We were afraid someone was going to steal it and scrap it for copper, so we started pursuing that, getting it back to the family, and it took about 7-8 months to do that. But they graciously gave it back to us. We have possession of it. I've kind of modified it and kind of brought it back to life. You know, it needed a little bit of work to it and made a few changes so that we can run with the current times now. So kind of the still has a little bit of me and a little bit, a whole lot of my grandfather, but a little bit of me in it as well. So
you're using the original hush-hush recipe, though?
Yeah, we're using a family hush-hush recipe, so... like I said, you can't talk about it a lot, but we are a family recipe. And, you know, that's one of the things that the family did throughout the years with this stuff is they didn't talk a lot about it because it was illegal what they were doing. So there wasn't a lot of communication with other folks. So, you know, you kind of kept it quiet. So.
Well, I was fascinated to read the steps it takes to be a legal distiller now. It's a really complicated process, yes?
Yes, and Kate, we got notification via email last night from the TTB, the Tax and Tobacco Bureau, which is the federal piece, that our label, which we had filed back, weeks ago, we might get approval on it today. So we're keeping our fingers crossed, and then that'll mean we only have one more hurdle to jump, which is the distributor piece in Kentucky. Of course, there's what's called a three-tier system in the process of manufacturer, distributor, retailer, wholesaler. There seems to me like there are about 33 steps, but we're almost able to sell our own product that we can make but not sell.
Well, I watched the video online Amy Bryant Watson visited you all for the television station in Nashville, and I was impressed when she took a big glug of your product that she didn't change your facial expression. She just went, phew.
it's really good stuff. It's really smooth. We kind of pride ourselves in making a really good tasting product. We hope people are going to like it. We don't claim to be the harsh old stuff that the guys used to want to throw a match to. You know, we're trying to make a really good product. We've had a lot of good help and guidance from my cousin who has Silver Trail Distillery in Hardin, Kentucky, which I know y'all are familiar with.
Sure.
Spencer Ballantyne. So. He's been a big help in this process. Of course, M.B. Rowland, Paul at M.B. Rowland, and Mary Beth, they've been a big help, too. So we have three distilleries here in Kentucky now that are working together to bring tourism and to make a good product and have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, good, responsible. And, it's really a meaningful industry to Kentucky, Kate, because it's of the tourism dollars, of the manufacturing dollars. We use everything local that we can. Of course, right now, corn is about the biggest thing. But when you take a decent-sized distillery, there's a lot of local corn and other things that happen that are really helpful to Kentucky and to particularly the local economies.
Well, would you define for me what you mean when you say it's a Prohibition-style corn whiskey?
The way it's made, it's not made the same technology that everyone else uses this time. The big distillers use a lot different operation to do it than we do. And it's, you know, it's been one that's been passed down through the years from the family that I think it actually started, I think, on Spencer's side of the family. That's where that recipe started. My side of the family, my grandfather was a steel builder, so they worked together and always have throughout the years. So that's kind of how it is right now, we're always working together. So.
And, Kate, a lot of the Prohibition mystique is that family recipe does date back to Prohibition and a little bit earlier. And then the way that what we call moonshine today, but it was really corn whiskey, is made, it was made in very small batches. You know, they couldn't set up a big operation that could be set up someplace and run like many of the great whiskeys and drinks today. You know, that's a continuous run distillery. Ours are not. Our small batches are all individually made. You run a batch, and then you start completely over. So every batch, while it's very similar and uses the same recipe, same product, is very unique in that they're all small batch craft distilled spirits.
What does Cut 92 mean?
That's the proof that we're bottling, which is a 92 proof, and kind of came up with the name of kind of my grandfather's share, basically, that he was due. He worked hard for this, but this was his cut. And 92 proof is one that I'm pretty sure was kind of his favorite in the proving of the alcohol. So
you know, you can have it, you can drink it from whatever 75, 80 proof on up in the hundreds. And actually, when it comes off the still, which you need to come and have this experience, it'll start coming off the still at 140 proof, and it'll run from 140, and then we quit running when it gets down to about 90. We'll stop the production because the very beginning and the very end is not what you want to drink. So we just take the middle or the hearts. We get rid of the heads and the tails, and that's where moonshine gets a bad name, is people that just keep every distilled drop and drink it. It can have a not great taste. It'll have the effect, but it won't have the taste.
So, AJ, did you have a chance to get to know your grandfather?
Oh, yeah. I've spent a lot of time in childhood working with him. He lived with my dad, our family, at least on the same property for years. Actually, the last place we lived together was at Aurora down in Kentucky Lake. His shop is still down there that he had, and that I used to work with him in when I was 10 and 11 years old. And matter of fact, he gave me my first little tractor that I had that was actually a working tractor, you know, that used in the garden. It was a two-wheel tractor. So, but I spent some time with him when he was making the small steels that he makes. He'd actually turn the little wooden barrels on a lathe. And you'll see these displayed around. They're kind of rare, but there are several of them around. And they do have one of them in the museum at Land Between Lakes now to replace the big one that I have. But he was making the small stills at that time period and would actually get more money from making those than he would from the original big stills that he made, you know. Uh-huh. A lot of people wanted one of what they used to run or what they knew somebody else had and so forth. So, but I did get to spend a lot of time with him. We worked construction from the time I was little. My dad had a construction company, and my grandfather worked for him. So we spent a lot of time together.
So since we're radio, I'm guessing we could describe the size of your still as it's taller than you are, isn't it? It looks like it might be maybe 10, 12 feet wide.
Well, it's a 100-gallon still is what I have. To be size-wise, mm-hmm. How much mash that we'll load into it, which will produce right now about 30 gallons of moonshine off of it right now when it's fully loaded, which is really a good size run for that size still. You know, a lot of people have started out with stills that size and have increased over time. I hope to never have to do that. I hope to stay in that same size and do the same small batches and have that same unique deal that he had, you know.
Case, part of what made Casey be the king of the still builders was that he had his design was completely unique, and actually AJ and Spencer have got a patent on that, that the size of the box, the surface of the part of the still that came into contact with the fire, what's called the line arm is where the distillate steam travels and is captured then in what some people call a coil, but Casey didn't make a coil. He made a jacketed condenser that fit down in a barrel. All of this made better moonshine, faster, and higher production. And there are a lot of little unique things about how he did all that, that while some people try to mimic it, Casey was the only one who could really make a still and make it perform like his did. You could take them apart. You could move them easily. Get them fired up, and in 10, 15 minutes, you could be running mash, and then you could disassemble the thing and move it and make really good moonshine, lots of it real fast.
Well, this is all just really neat, and I want to wrap up by asking you, once you get through the next four hurdles, what will we be able to do?
You'll be able to give us an Olympic medal.
We get this label and we get the distributor, we'll be able to sell our product here at our location. We have a gift shop that's set up and kind of designed and built around, as I remember as a child, my grandfather's workshop. You walk in it looks just about like his workshop did. We'll be able to sell our product there, and hopefully we'll locally, you know, in the area, we'll have it out on the market as well.
Right, and then our goal is to let people come and have the real moonshine experience, from learning how to load the still, how to crack the corn to make the mash, run the distillation process, collect the spirits, proof them, gauge them as they come off, bottle them, then actually get down to where they cut it to whatever proof they want, whether it's 90, 92, 98. And then we also have an opportunity to be able to do some custom labeling. So if you want some Tate's Kick bourbon or something, we can make that for you.
But the experience is what we're after. Yeah. And the few people that we've had out here when we've ran and so forth, and of course, you know, we were fortunate enough to have Senator Westerfield out here and some other high-ranking officials here in Hopkinsville.
And on January 2nd.
We had an awesome run on January 2nd, and they had an experience that most of us had never experienced in their lives. So, you know, it is a life-changing deal. Has been for me, you know, working in the furniture industry with Peg for 15 years, a whole lot different. And like she said, we would like to get it at some point where when we deliver a mattress, we can deliver a bottle of moonshine and guarantee a good night's sleep.
Good night's sleep one way or another.
Well, Peg and AJ, thank you so much for speaking with us, and keep us posted, and congratulations to you.
Congratulations, and we'll have the whole WKMS crowd down for a private run.
Your beer's open tonight. Now, there's a lot happening.
A lot happening at the Kentucky State Park today at 4 o'clock.
Something about the possum, right?
Yep, something about the possum.
Well, thanks again for being here. We appreciate what you're doing.
All right, turn us up, but don't turn us in.
Bye-bye.
You're with Murray State's WKMS. We sound good because of listeners like you.